Anyway, so we're here today. We are up in the Wisconsin Dells, and we are with Mike McCarthy. And Mike is the area director for the area that covers the Elowa Council. And so right away, before we get into that detail, Mike, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and how you got to the position that you're in today.
Sure. Well, I first and foremost am an Eagle Scout and grew up in scouting, worked on summer camp staff as a youth, and then was recruited off the summer camp staff to go to work professionally for the Boy Scouts. And I've worked now for 23 years professionally and served in the Greater St. Louis Area Council initially, then went to the Minneapolis Council, which was called the Viking Council, spent 8 years working in the Viking Council, then went over to St. Paul. Two councils at that time that were headquartered 14 miles apart, but went out in opposite directions. And so I worked for another couple of years for the St. Paul Council before we then merged those two together. Mm-hmm. And they are now the Northern Star Council. Mm-hmm. So I spent 3 years working for the new organization before I went over to Northern Wisconsin and became scout executive for the Samoset Council, headquartered in Wausau, Wisconsin.
That's the happy tree, or the happy tent.
That is Smiley the Tent.
Smiley yes. The Tent. Smiley
yes.
The Tent.
Designed by Walt Disney, yep. Specifically for the Samoset Council. Yeah, yeah.
I have a couple patches with Smiley the Tent on them.
So that is where camping is king, as we say. And then about 2.5 years ago, was asked to come onto the National Council staff as what we call an area director. And I work with 11 councils headquartered in Iowa, Illinois, and St. Louis, Missouri. And then in my current role, I serve as a resource for those 11 councils. I describe it as having two primary roles. Number one is to help troubleshoot if there's problems or issues, but then more importantly, to be able to share best practices across those 11 councils. So if I have an opportunity where I see a council that's really doing something extremely well, and Illowa Council is a regular contributor to that, everything from your camping programs to balanced budgets, you guys really are a leader in the area as well as the region. But I will take those best practices then and share them with other councils so that they can learn and grow and benefit the youth that they serve in the same way.
Now, something that's unique about you, Mike, is that you know Tom. You and Tom go way back. So Tom McDermott and yourself were on camp staff together. Is that right?
We were, and we we keep each other in check because we have stories on each other. So. No, Tom and I both grew up in the Greater St. Louis Area Council, worked on summer camp staff together, and we both started with the St. Louis Council professionally as district executives. So he and I have known each other for many years, and our families know each other well, and we've stayed in regular contact over the years, yeah, as we've grown professionally.
It's a pretty interesting story from camp staff to scout executives, because you both served in that role, and now you're an area director, which is pretty awesome, and in the same area.
Yeah.
I mean, essentially the same area the whole time.
Right.
I know. Did you guys know each other when you were on camp staff? I mean,
oh, yeah.
you guys were buddies. You kind of piled around when you were on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because St. Louis is pretty big. I mean, I would imagine that you weren't pals with everybody on camp staff. I'm sure, because they had multiple camps too, right?
Correct. Multiple properties, and on those properties there were then multiple camps.
Sure.
But Tom and I both worked at SBARF Scout Ranch, and so that's where we first got to know each other. We didn't become really good friends, I would say, though, until we became professionals.
Yep.
But definitely got to know each other and became friends initially as camp staff members.
It'd be pretty neat to see, you know, families grow over the years.
Yeah.
You know, being in the same profession as well and sharing some of the same highs and lows. You know, that's got to be pretty cool.
And I don't know if it's appropriate to say on this podcast, so you may need to edit this out. But you know, a funny story I think is that I have a group of friends who we all grew up on camp staff together, and we're still very close friends today. And one of the things that we do as a hobby is we brew beer.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And so when Tom and Sandy had their first daughter, mm-hmm. We named one of our batches of beer, which was an exceptionally good batch
good
of beer, we named it the Audrey Rose.
Oh, that's cool.
After Tom. We had labels made up and everything, but we named it after Tom's first daughter, and I think we gave him most of that first batch.
Wow, that is really cool.
Because just, you know, to recognize milestones in life.
Right.
But that's the kind of friends and group that we were.
Right.
Very close-knit group of guys.
I know it really seems like that in this profession that, you know, we're developing relationships wherever we go, and it seems like the kind of relationships that will last.
Yeah.
I mean, it really does. I mean, even among when we were sitting in this conference room doing our staff planning and that, I know we're getting a little bit closer. We're getting to hang out mm-hmm. socially, and it really seems like a good environment to have long-lasting friendships. It really
Absolutely.
Does.
Absolutely. My best friends are all guys that we met and grew up on camp staff
yep.
together. We would do a trip at the end of every summer camp season. Camp would end. We would hop into a car with our backpacks, and we'd drive west, and we would backpack for a week. And then once we graduated college and got into the working world, we kept doing that. And to this day, we still do a trip every year.
No kidding.
And we have together been, we've canoed through the Okefenokee Swamp on the Florida-Georgia border for a week. We have gone across glaciers in the Wind River Range in Wyoming together.
Jeez.
We have canoed through the boundary waters. Two of the guys I traveled for a couple of months across Western Europe with a couple of them.
No.
They're all Eagle Scouts. We all
right.
met on camp staff. We've been in each other's weddings. We've been there for each other's kids. It's my group of buddies.
Sure.
And we still, this year, we're looking at going back out to the Wind River Range as this year's trip. 2 years ago, we did the Great Northern Traverse of Glacier National Park, which is a west to east trip across Glacier National Park. But this year, we're looking to climb Fremont and one other peak in Wyoming is, I think, going to be this year's trip.
That sounds like a blast.
But it speaks to your point
mm-hmm.
about it really is a family and
sure.
a close-knit group of people with common values, common interests, and common missions
right.
for
right.
helping young people to grow and develop.
Well, in your position, Mike, I know everybody that's here at the Dells right now having their staff planning conference, we're all trying to find that one magic bullet, you know, the one magic thing to increase youth. And what is it that you see that we can do? And I know there's not just one thing, but what's a good suggestion to us as professionals, which you were, you know, you were in the executive role a long time ago, 20 some years ago.
Yeah.
What do you see that's changing now that we could be using out there in the field that we really need to go out there and grab the youth and get them into scouting? I mean, the basics, I think the principles have stayed the same, but I think how we get that information to them and how we entice those youth to come into our program and the families to come into our program, that's really the most important thing. How do you see that in the next couple of years?
Well, I think there's a two-part answer to your question, and first of all, it's a great question. Getting youth involved in scouting really means having a quality program that's going to attract them.
Right.
We can send 1,000 different flyers,
yes.
and we can have
yes.
billboards, and we can do all of these things, but we've got to have the highest quality program because that will sell itself.
Right. Right.
So I think we still need to continue to do social media campaigns and marketing to moms in particular
mm-hmm.
because moms are the gatekeepers for the family calendar
yep.
and what kids are going to do.
That's right.
I know that for my own.
Me too.
And so I think we need to continue all of the marketing and promotion and getting information out there, but more importantly, we need to strengthen particularly den-level programs.
Sure.
We need to provide more and better support to den leaders. We've got to be able to make the program easy for them to deliver.
Yes.
And really provide them the tools and resources. And I'd like to even see us get to a point where we're providing a mentor for a new den leader
yeah.
Who can work with that new den leader for the first 3 months and really take them under their wing and help them to deliver a higher quality program, because that will keep kids in scouting.
Yes.
Right now, I say our problem isn't as much a recruitment issue as it is a retention issue.
Yes. Yep.
We lose anywhere from 40 to 50% of our Cub Scouts in that first 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And those people who we lose then go out and talk about, yeah, I didn't have a real good experience.
Right.
And so it compounds.
Yep.
We've got to address that. And I think the way to do that is the support to den leaders.
And we agree. In the Yellow Council, we had an initiative that we pushed last fall where we implemented on the district level a Tiger Cub mentor, a den leader mentor, you know, for that Tiger level. So we've got essentially an expert in that Tiger den leader role, and he goes and gives his expertise or offers it, and he's a great resource to these brand new den leaders, especially the Tiger level, and it's worked out pretty well. I mean, as far as the new Tiger den leaders that we've recruited, I know in Catan and Scott County, I think it's been a huge resource, and it's worked out really well for us so far. Yeah. So I think I definitely agree with the den leaders. That's where we need to strengthen some things as far as giving them those resources that they need and strengthening the program through them. I think that's great. Yeah. That's great. Well, we've got three questions.
Well, really quick. I heard that you're a runner.
Oh.
I am a runner.
So how long have you been doing that?
You know, it goes back to my college days. I was not actually a runner in college. I raced bicycles in college. And then when I got into the working world, I didn't have the time to spend on a bike. So I started transitioning more into just running for fitness. And that led me into some marathons. And I think at this point, I think I've run about 25 marathons.
Jeez,
oh, my gosh. Oh, and, my gosh.
I said some marathons. Yeah. I was like, okay, a handful maybe. No, 20-some.
Well, and that
20-some marathons. Jeez.
That has led me to what my wife calls just plain silliness, which is that I like running the longer distances. So I'm doing what they call ultra distance, which is anything over a marathon. So I do 50K races and then some 50-mile races. Now, those are generally trail races because I love to be out in the woods on the trails. I'm training right now for a 50-mile trail race in southern Missouri in May. So,
You know, Chris Roberts on Saturday Night Live a couple weeks ago, and he's talking about marathons, and he goes, 26 miles is a long drive.
Yeah.
Well,
so you'd much rather run 50 miles than drive 50 miles. Do a lot of driving. You got a lot of windshield time.
I spend a lot of time in the seat of a car. But I actually carry, I always have a pair of trail runners in the trunk.
Yeah.
And I always have a change of clothes and a thing of baby wipes because I will pretty regularly, with the amount of time I spend on the road, I will pretty regularly find a state park trails and I will pull over. I will run for an hour. I'll hop back in the car and just keep on going. I will stop. I'm heading today to Dubuque for some meetings tonight, and I will stop somewhere along the way and go for a run.
Well,
that's cool.
So, I enjoy. Well, I don't know if I enjoy running. I enjoy the fact that I've been out running, and so I'm hoping to do a half marathon in September.
Wow,
which isn't 50 miles 5 months from now. But no, this past weekend, I did a 10K, a 5K, and 1,500 meters all within the museum campus, Grant Park area of Chicago. And so we're going back out to Chicago in a couple weekends and doing another 5K. And I do close to a 5K every weekend, it seems like, at least a 5K. So
good for you.
So I'm hoping, but I would. And what's funny, though, is that when you say, like, I like the longer distances, I prefer the longer distances, but that's anything over a 5K. So anything between a 5K and 10 miles, to me, is the longer distances. For some reason, for me, I feel like I put way more energy into a 5K than I do 5 miles. And I don't know if it's just because it's like the time, where with the 5 miles, I'm just more focused on I'm going to finish this. And with the 5K, I'm thinking, like, I want to see what my time is. Or
yeah, you're young. You wait till you're wait till you're a little older. Those times won't matter. So, no, I've got again. He's one of my camp staff buddies. He and I met on camp staff, and we've been friends forever. And he's my running partner. And so we just about every weekend we're, you know, out on a Saturday or a Sunday morning early on the trails, and we'll just. It's a great time for he and I because we just talk and chat.
Yeah.
You know, last weekend we did a road run. I think we ran about 10 miles last weekend. The weekend before we were on trails, and we just talk.
Well, I did a 5K out at Camp Belzer in Indianapolis. Yeah. I did that a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. You should come up. So the last, I think, Saturday of September is the Quad City Marathon.
All right.
You can run the marathon. I'll run the half marathon, and then we'll meet afterwards.
Hey, sign me up.
Well, really quick, we've never really done this, but is there any questions that you might have for us that you would think that our listeners might want to hear?
Well, I guess the question I would have for you is, you're right there at the most ground level of delivering scouting. What do you think nationally we need to do to grow scouting? From your perspective, what needs to change?
Well, I know that, Ian, one of the biggest things is, and I know this is probably talked about a lot at national level, but we have some volunteers or people that will say, well, scouting, this wasn't what scouting was like back in the 70s. And I'm like, yeah, in the 70s, they didn't have iPads. Right. You know, Tiger Cub doesn't care about what happened back then. Tiger Cub only cares about what's going on now. And so, and I see this definitely in the new Cub program, but I think as much as the National Council can stay, not just in today, but 2 years ahead of today at all times. You know what I mean? Like, and I know that's really easy to say, and maybe not as easy to do, but I think that we need to stay ahead of everything so that the Boy Scouts is a viable program. Because right now, if we were doing what they did back in the 70s, the Boy Scouts would not be a viable program for the kids of today.
Right. And that's what we've tried to do on a much smaller scale just in our district, is we're trying to build relationships wherever we can. Mm-hmm. And with other youth-serving organizations. There's nothing saying that we have to stand alone here and, fight this battle of bringing this good program to the youth. I mean, everybody's doing good things out there. What can we do to reach out to more families and more youth? And it's building those relationships. That's what's really strengthening what we're doing right now, is having that backup so we can combine and make a good event and reaching out there and say, hey, we want to be in the conversation. When we have families looking for something to do, we want to be one or two organizations they're thinking of that, I bet the Scouts are doing something this weekend. Let's check their activities page. We want to be in that conversation. Or I bet they know somebody that could help us out with this. Yeah. We want to be in that conversation all the time. You know, that's something we want to do.
I think what you guys are speaking to is the relevancy thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we've got to remain relevant. And if we're no longer relevant, we'll just die on the vine.
Well, and this what's great about scouting is that when I was a Cub Scout, and I hate when people start stories with that line. When I was a Cub Scout, Clinton was president. You know, like a computer took up, you know, like your library.
It wasn't a desktop.
Yeah. You know what I mean? We didn't have any of this stuff. We would never be able to do the podcast. But at the core of it, it's still the same program. And that's what's awesome about scouting is that it's still the core, you know, values and ethics and what we're doing with the program. It's just in that way of presentation. Yep. And I would like to think that Ian and I are, you know, as close to being ahead of that as we can be, but I know that there's always ways to grow and what we can do.
Yep.
But I hope that the future is bright. I think that the future
is
bright.
I absolutely do. You know, a little side story here. Last night, I got a call from my son, who's 16 and a half, and he had just come from his Boy Scout troop meeting where he had had his Scoutmaster's conference for his Eagle Scout award. And he was flying so high. It was unbelievable. I mean, I could see him through the phone, 5 feet off the ground, and he was talking about how supportive his leaders were, how they told him he's going to go so far in life, and just how proud he was of what he's done in scouting. And I realized that, we still do incredible things for kids, and we are still relevant. Mm-hmm. And I see it with my own son, and, it's those types of things that we cannot lose sight of. Is that we make a difference in the lives of kids.
Right.
So
absolutely.
Bam. Well, hey, we do have three questions that we ask all of our guests. And the first question is, what is your favorite current TV show? So I know that as if, when you're not running, you're driving. But when you do have a chance to sit down and watch TV.
I have two shows that I generally like to tune into. One is going to be going into its last season, and that is Parks and Recreation.
Yeah, that's a good show.
And then the other one that is just it's a relaxation thing for me is to watch American Pickers, which I'm sure you guys are very familiar with.
Yep.
I love antiques. I love old things. And so I just kind of like to see
what they find.
See what they find. Yep. So
you showed us a picture of antique archaeology on your phone.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you went there. Did you go there recently?
It was, I want to say, November or December, just in the past.
So the last time Ian and I were there was probably April, maybe.
Yeah.
They had a full scout uniform from about the 1950s on display.
They still have it there.
They still have it.
Yes. I was surprised. They actually had a whole case of scout memorabilia.
Oh, we'll have to get back out there.
Yep.
They only had a hanger when we were out there last.
Yep. They've got a whole case, and it was kind of fun to see that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Next question. If you could have your dream job, start over and have whatever job you wanted to, what would be your dream job?
Outside of the one you
outside
have.
Outside of the one you have, yep.
Within the scouting movement.
You're no, any.
Or any.
Anything.
Oh, boy.
Anything.
I think my dream job would probably involve leading trips. As I mentioned earlier, I've got my group of scout buddies, and we still do our little trip every year. And when I'm in the outdoors, I'm in the most refreshed state of mind as I can be. And to be able to do that full time, and scouting comes pretty close to that, you know, because we get a lot of opportunity. But you know, even with the opportunity we get, it's still has a lot of business aspects, and so we're looking at budgets and looking at numbers, and that's part of what we do because we need to make sure we can fulfill our mission. But I think probably leading trips and expeditions would...
So you'd be like a Sherpa?
Yeah.
That's what he envisioned.
You're
he
like,
said
my
leading
dream
trips.
Job is being a Sherpa.
Being a Sherpa.
Which I don't think that you can just decide to be a Sherpa.
No,
that's like a race of people, right?
Yeah.
I think you're born into that.
But do you have any interest doing something like that, though, like climbing Everest or...
You know, I it was always a dream of mine. I read the book by John Krakauer called Into Thin Air, and it really got me hooked on that idea of climbing Everest. But the reality is that, you know, I've got four kids right now, and so it changes your perspective on life, and that you're not going to do anything to intentionally put yourself in harm's way when you've got a family. So.
You know the... like the trail markers in Everest are bodies, like, and it's not official. It's just like, oh, that's the green boot guy. You know what I mean? Because they can't take bodies back down from Everest. So the entire, all of Everest is covered in bodies and empty oxygen tanks.
Yes.
Wow.
Because of the
They're actually underway right now with a project to bring most of that garbage down. And so they've started a program in order to retrieve those oxygen canisters and all of the other garbage that's up there. I don't remember how long it's supposed to take, but at least they're moving the right direction now.
This is crazy. Well, our last question, if you could meet anyone, alive, dead, fictional, it could be anyone, and have a meal with them, who would you meet and what would you eat?
You know, that... probably changes from time to time as you learn about different people. One of the people that I'm very intrigued with right now is actually John Adams.
Yeah.
And I've been watching a miniseries.
That's great.
That is one of the greatest things put on film.
I'm fascinated by John Adams.
Yeah.
And his vision for what the future of our country could be.
Yeah.
And the way that his mind worked and the selflessness that he exhibited in his own personal life, the things he gave up in order to make sure that our country could be as it is today. I have just been fascinated by it. And so I would say that he's one that I would really, right now, I would love to meet and have a meal with him. And, you know, if it could be any meal in the world, I do like steak. Yeah. So I would love to sit down and have a good steak.
Steak with John Adams.
Steak with John Adams.
That's pretty
good. Did you see that they opened up a time capsule that they believe was buried by Paul Revere and Sam Adams?
Right. Yep.
Which I heard that it was just a 12-pack of Boston Lager. But
it was not. Oh, boy.
But that miniseries, really, if anybody has not seen that miniseries,
it's fantastic.
It is amazing.
It is.
Really well done.
And have you watched the full thing?
No, we've watched it's 6 episodes. We finished the third.
Oh, so yeah, a lot more.
So yeah, you know, and it's been fun because I've been watching it with my wife and my 16-year-old son, who is a huge history buff. Mm-hmm. And he is like a walking history textbook right now. And so we'll sit there and watch it with him. And he will also fill in so many of the blanks. It's really been fun as a family to watch and learn.
That's cool.
And it's been really neat.
Well, Mike, thank you very much for being our guest today. And enjoy your trip back. And enjoy your run.
And thanks for what you guys do. You do tremendous work, and you make a difference in families and kids, and that is a great thing. So thanks for what you do.
Thanks, Mike.
We'll talk to you very soon.
Okay.